All right, yeah. Okay. Oh, let me turn this on. Evidently, it's still going. He's very happy to be alive. This is awesome. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Chronicles 16. And I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And I promise the praise team, this would be a short sermon. I know we have all of our little kids in here, and their attention span is very short. Not to mention many of you who are normally in here, your attention span is very short. But you put up with me. But I've told you before, this is one of my favorite times of the year. Because even though, I'm tired. I had a long week. But it was different because I was focused on different things. And everything from doing I had some time around the house, did some home improvement stuff. I'm ready to be done with that already, but there's still more waiting for me when I get home this afternoon and this week. But time with my family, we were just absolutely stuffed Thanksgiving Day. I mean, just so much that I was like, I'm miserable. I'm so full. My son was even, he was like, why are you wearing jeans? Dad, you need to wear something that moves a little bit more. But I hope that you've had some time with your family. You know, it's amazing that as busy as we are, I was listening to one comedian. He goes, you get to Christmas, and all of a sudden you realize what you begin to do is you begin to take the outside inside and the inside outside. I mean, think about it. You're about to bring a tree into your house, and you're about to take your lights and put them outside. And so it's amazing, with as busy as we are, we find time to then completely redecorate our homes for Christmas. And beforehand, if I would have said, hey, do you have any time to do anything extra? You'd go, I can't. I am book solid. But this, in the next 2 weeks or so, you will find time to redecorate your house. But in all of that, what I hope that you get to do is relax a little bit. I mean, when you start talking about, we are a month away from 2018. I mean, and all of a sudden, that brings in all the stuff that goes on in the spring and getting ready for crawfish boils. So that's very important once the new year happens. But I hope that you do get to slow down, watch a movie with your family, I mean, play some games with them, enjoy what the Lord has done for you. I mean, this whole Thanksgiving, I've been holding on to that video because since it had wrapping paper, I was thinking, let's do it after Thanksgiving. But man, we don't wake up like that, do we? We just wake up and think that all of this, we should have it. And yet we don't wake up grateful for electricity and clean water and our cars and our homes and the fact that, I mean, most of us, we skip breakfast. And yet it's there ready for us. And I just hope that we, through this Thanksgiving season, we have learned to be more thankful. But I want you to know that as we finish this, the tendency is going to be this, to just go back to the routine, to just go back and not be grateful. That's where we naturally go to. And this morning, as we finish up this passage, I'm actually going to read the entire Song of Thanks. We've broken it down into parts. We've been on this for 3 weeks, but I want us to read the whole thing, and then I'm going to close it out this morning with just the last point that David wants to make about why we should be thankful. So I'm going to pray. We're going to read this passage. We're going to dive into it very quickly. It's a one-point sermon this morning, so be happy about that. Douglas spread this rumor that it was going to be 10 minutes long. That's an evil rumor. Don't buy into that, okay? But let's pray and let's jump into this. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful. Lord, forgive us when we don't realize that waking up in the morning, our children, our clothing, our running water, our food, our transportation, all of that, Lord, that it is such a gift from you that we don't deserve it. But Lord, for some reason, you have placed us in this very wealthy nation, and you have given us great wealth. Lord, even for the one who says, I'm struggling and I live in a small home and my car is barely running, we are still rich compared to the rest of the world. The fact that we have just clean water at our disposal all the time, we are rich compared to the rest of the world. And Lord, I pray that as we read the song of thanks, Lord, you will stir in our hearts and our minds that we are to be people who are grateful. Lord, I love you, and it's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Would you please stand as we read God's word? I'm going to begin in verse 8 and read all the way through verse 36. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as for your portion for an inheritance. When you were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Say also, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Would you please be seated? All right, here we go. So our natural tendency is to not be thankful. When God is putting in his word that you ought to be thankful, we ought to know that our tendency is to not be thankful. We tend to think that we are entitled to more. We tend to think that we should get more, so we envy. And then we have unreal expectations. Our expectations many times are so out of whack with the world. I mean, we really believe that we should get more and more and more, and it's never enough. But Paul tells us that, guess what? That's our flesh, and our spirit is at war with our flesh. And in Galatians it says this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So our tendency as Thanksgiving is over now. We gathered on Thursday. We had great food. And I'd venture to say, even people who don't normally stop to give thanks, and they gathered with your family for this time, they said, I'll be still for a minute and we'll give thanks. But our tendency is that now that's over. Now it's Christmas time. And what is our thoughts? What's in it for me? What am I getting for Christmas? What I wonder what the gift for me is going to be. And we start thinking, hey, I gotta tell my spouse, gotta tell my kids, and my kids are going, gotta tell my dad, gotta tell my mom. Let's talk about all what we're gonna get. Thanksgiving, that's behind us. But I think we need to continue to struggle to be thankful people. Amen? Amen. We need to continue along those lines. So we're told in this, and I want to go and very quickly where we were before. Why do we have hearts of gratitude? We are chosen. It tells us we are chosen people. Man, we are chosen when we were of little account. We were sinners, dead, lost, blind, and of little account. And God chooses us and sets His love upon us. And He raises us up and makes us what? Co-heirs of the kingdom with Christ. So we ought to be thankful for that. We ought to be thankful that He keeps His covenant. And therefore, we're not just chosen for a little while. God doesn't choose us and then, oh man, we do something bad and or we do something wrong or we commit a sin. He goes, no, I have nothing to do with you. Oh no, He chooses you. And guess what? He keeps His covenant. When He saves you, He saves you for all times. Amen. All times. He provides everything for us. It's not just the stuff that we have, but the fact that He allows us to breathe and to move and to function. We've been talking about when we were, just before this series, we did a series on giving. And I want to remind you that we don't have to work. We get to work. And we get to work. There are people who wish they could, who wish they had a job, who wish they had the ability, who wish they had the mind, who wish they physically could do it, and yet we get to. And yet our work is not just for us. We are working not only to provide so that we can take care of our families and ourselves, but to provide for other people. But God has given us everything, everything. And God's control over it all. That's tough because many times we want to be in control. We want to control situations, the people around us, and the outcome of everything. But it's God that is in control. And we ought to be grateful for that. Amen? Amen. And it's, you know, we just got finished. Man, doesn't it seem like just the other day we were going trick-or-treating with our kids? It seems like that was just like last week. But I thought about this because I went with my nieces and nephew, and man, they were excited going from one house to the other. And guess what? They were getting a lot of candy. And you remember the World Series was being played? Y'all remember that? And some people thought it was really good to just leave the candy on the front door. Now, Douglas and Jenny, being the good parents that they are, they were like one piece of candy. Now, Douglas, if he was honest about who we were as kids, there would have been no one piece. It would have been like just to rake it into your bag. But you get all this candy, and man, when we got back to my mom's house, and they were pouring out candy, and they began bargaining, and I began, as the uncle, I was going, you know what I really like? I just want to put this out there. And they started giving me some of their candy. But in their minds, what was best for them would be to what? Eat it all right then. Man, every bit of it. And it is good candy. It is sweet. And there's chocolates. And there's sweet tarts and all this. And in their mind, that's the best thing. That's the good thing. But the parent is going, absolutely not. Because even though you think this is a good thing right now, later, you're going to pay for it. And many times, we are just like my nieces and nephew. We see things, we go, oh, this is so good, and I want all this right now. And God is going, no. Because I'm a good, good father. And I know what's best. And you think that's going to be good for you. And it's not. And so I'm telling you no. And then just like my nieces and nephew, they're like, Mom, Dad. And we whine to God. Because we want God to see things our way. But thank goodness He's in control. And He says no and He says yes when He knows what is best for us. Not only that, He's sovereign over all. He controls it all. But in that, you remember, and it really wasn't a point in the sermon, but I wanted to remind you that it can't be that we just have an attitude of gratitude. There must be action behind that. And there must be something that causes us to move. I cannot imagine that God does all of this for us and we just say, yeah, but in my heart, I feel gratitude. I can live how I want, do what I want, but in my heart, I feel gratitude. No. David says through this song, he says, look, sing to the Lord. He says, tell of his salvation, declare his glory, ascribe to him, worship the Lord, tremble before him. All of these things are action verbs. And so I want to remind you that we ought to be people who don't just have an attitude of gratitude, but we ought to have actions of gratitude. And I don't know what that is for you. Some of it is definitely proclaiming. And I did get on to some of you last week that it's amazing that we come in here and I think we have pretty good music and we have the words on the screen, and yet you'll stand here blank and you won't even open your mouth to sing praises to him. Even in an environment like this where, man, it's very safe. I mean, the music is loud enough that even if you sing y'all pitch, no one's going to hear it that much. But, what an encouragement to us to hear you singing back to us and us singing to you, and we sing to one another the praises of God. Amen? Amen. But it's amazing. Even in the environment of a church, we will have people who will not lift their voices just to sing praise to their Lord and their Savior. So if you can't do it here, how is that happening out there? How are you having an action of gratitude out there? Do you declare the Lord? Do you do that at work? Man, when things go great, do you go, man, I'm just so grateful to the Lord for doing this and this outcome in this way? And let me ask you this, when things go wrong, do you go, man, I know this is not what we want, but man, I trust the Lord in all of this. You see, you are ascribing to him in front of other people who the Lord is. Those are actions of gratitude. But the last one today, why should we be thankful? And it's so simple because it says it right there. Save us, O God of our salvation. We are grateful because he has saved us. He has saved us. Think about, here they are, Israel, King David, he's writing these words. And let me just ask you, were the Egyptians thanking the Lord? The Canaanites? If you go to the book of Judges, the Philistines, the Sidonians, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, none of them are thanking God. They ought to be thanking God because he has saved them over and over and over and over and over and over again. He saves them continuously. Man, I'm not only been saved, I am being saved and I will be saved. It is a continual action of what the Lord is doing in my life. Man, we ought to thank him because he has saved us. Man, do you think the world is going to praise the Lord? Do you? Man, we ought to be praising the Lord. He has saved us from this world. He hadn't only saved us to something. He has saved us from something. Well, what is it? Because, Paul, I got news for you, man. I'm one of those that you were talking about. This is not going to be a great holiday for me. Man, I lost my mom last year, and it's going to be different. And he didn't save me from that. Or, Paul, I lost my father. Or, Paul, I went through a divorce this year. Or my children aren't even talking to me. So he didn't save me from that. Let me tell you, what he saved us from was the sin. He saved us from this idea that we're entitled to these things, from envy. He saved us from that. He saved us from the sin that is in us. It doesn't mean that tough times aren't going to come. Oh, my word, it doesn't mean that. He didn't save us from... I mean, by the way, do you know why these people, the Egyptians, the Canaanites, the Philistines, the Sidonians, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites? It tells us in Judges that God used these people to test Israel. Man, they were just tools that God used to mold and to form his people. I got news for you. Is God in control of it all? This is where you answer. Is God in control of it all? Then he will use these situations to test us, to mold us into the people that he wants us to be. And we've got to trust him in that. Because even though he's using these situations, and we go, man, this is tough, and I don't want to go through this, and trust me, I've been there. I don't want to go through some of the things that God has put me through, but I must trust that not only is he using these things to mold me and to make me into the person he wants me to be, but he has saved me from the eternal consequences of my sin, even as I go through those things. What better time for us to remember that God has saved us than as we go into this Christmas season? I mean, he sent his Son to save us. You know, we can be just as guilty as the Israelites. They thought that the Messiah was going to give them political independence, that they were going to get, they were gonna, he was going to be a military leader, and they were going to have their say in the way that the world was run. And here Jesus comes, and he's born of this virgin, son of a carpenter, this meek man who goes to the cross, and they're going, well, that's not what we thought. I mean, we thought we were going to get saved from all of this. And we better be careful that we don't fall into that same trap. Oh man, if Jesus is real, then he should save me from all of this. He came to save us from our sin. And God has saved us from this lifetime of entitlement and envy and unreal expectations. I mean, you know, it's the world who thinks like that. They're not thankful because they're thinking, well, I should get more and I better get more because guess what? This is it. The world is thinking, I mean, they really do subscribe to the saying that really came out, I think, in the 80s, the one with the most toys, who dies with the most toys wins. That's right. But notice how that ends. The one who dies with the most toys. We're not going to die. We're going to live with the Lord forever. And the thing about it, we've been saved from that mentality that we've got to get it all right now because this is it. You know, it's amazing. We're about to, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to be on every TV channel. Christmas movies. And yes, I know you're, and guess what? Have fun with them if that's your thing. It's not really my thing. Well, Paul, you know, some of those aren't Christian ones. They're secular. I know. Have fun with them. I used to watch them, man. I wanted to watch. I mean, you remember back in the day when there were, well, some of you will remember, there were very few channels. And the idea that there would be actually something animated on at night, you know, my mom was very gracious. My dad would come home, you know, I want to watch the news. I don't want to watch. And my mom's like, they're watching Santa Claus is Coming to Town. That's just the way it is. And she stood up for us as boys that we wanted to watch these animated classics, if you will. But what's ironic as I begin to mature and thinking that, man, I don't need anything for Christmas. I've already been given my salvation. I've been given Christ. But what's amazing is we're going to watch all of these movies. And believe me, I have my favorites. I mean, I'll definitely watch Elf. I'll definitely watch The Christmas Story. It's tradition in my house. It plays for 24 hours. We watch snippets of it all 24 hours. But as you watch these stories, notice what they're going to begin, even the secular ones. I mean, something like Elf, if you will. It's the story of course, Will Ferrell plays this elf who's really not an elf. But he comes and seeks his father, and his father is just consumed by the world. It's about the money, it's about his job, and he is very neglectful of his family. And through the movie, what happens? Not only is it funny, but his father realizes that it's not about the job and the money. He's missing out on his family, what's important in this world, the relationships. And y'all can all nod that you've seen the movie. But you know what's amazing? Is that every 15 minutes or so, there'll be a commercial break. And in that commercial break, they'll be telling you everything materially that you need. And so the very message that's been given by the movie is being countered by the fact that you need a new Mercedes-Benz. And you need the latest video game system. And you need this and that because that will make you happy. And then you go back to the movie and you're like, but this is saying that, and you get these conflicts of messages. But we ought to already know that the stuff of this world is just temporary. I'll never forget when a teacher told me one time, he said, look, just remember that every single thing that you own, I want you to think just for a minute, what is your most prized possession? Please don't get overly spiritual and go, I don't have any. Yes, you do. I have things that are important to me that I own. Think of your most prized possession. Now think about the stuff that is laying around your house, the decor, the furniture, the electronics, the house itself. Think about what's out in your garage, the tools, the cars, if you can get your car in your garage. And I remember he said this, every single thing you own, every single thing, will either A, be owned by someone else, or B, end up in the trash. Every single thing. Your most prized possession will be owned by someone else, or it will end up in the trash. The saying is true, you can't take it with you. You've been saved from that mindset, though, that it's all about this stuff. We thank the Lord because He's chosen us, because He keeps His covenant, He provides for us, He's sovereign over all, He's in control, and He has saved us. And David tells Israel why the Lord has saved them, gathered them, and delivered them, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. He has saved us so that we can thank Him and ascribe this glory and praise to His name. So I'm asking you this morning, is there more than just attitude? Is there action in your thankfulness? He has saved you so that you can thank Him, so that you can magnify Him, so that you can ascribe to Him glory and praise. Are you doing that? Because listen, if you're not doing that, I would ask, why did He save you? He tells you, He has saved you that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. I'm going to tell you right now, I cannot imagine how people function in this world without knowing they're saved. I can't. I can't imagine what it would be like to go into this holiday season at 48 years old now without knowing my Savior. I can't. I can't. I was sitting there as I was thinking about this, about my gratitude for the Lord. As you know, this weekend, my son went off to Fort Worth. My daughter's off doing a soccer tournament. And I just had Kaylee with me. And she told me last night, she gave me a hug. And she goes, this has been a good weekend. And I just thought, if I didn't know that I'd been saved, if I didn't know that there is more to life than this world, after almost having, in many ways, to start over at 46, man, I would be angry and bitter. And yet I trust that the Lord knew what He was doing through all of that. I trust Him in that. And it didn't mean that I wasn't like my nieces and nephews, that I didn't yell at Him sometime and say, but I want all this candy right now. And He says, no, I know what I'm doing. But I have hope. Because I do know this. This is not my home. And it will all work out for me. But not in this world, not in this age, and not in this time. But ultimately, I will be delivered. And I will be gathered with my brothers and sisters. And for all eternity, we will give thanks and praise to our God and King. Amen? Amen? Man, I cannot imagine if you're here this morning and you don't know Him as Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, when tough times come, and I didn't say if, when tough times come, I don't know how you're going to get through without relying on your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know how. Because you will be so bitter that some of this world doesn't work out for you, that you don't get to keep the things that you want to keep, that you don't get to do the things that you want to do. And yet, I know that the Lord is going, but I know what's better for you. And I'm in control of it all. So one of the reasons that we thank Him ultimately is that He has saved us. He is the God of our salvation. If you don't know this salvation that I'm talking about, it is through Jesus Christ. That He came here born of a virgin, that He lived a perfect life, that He died on the cross, and 3 days later He rose from the dead. And I believe that with all my heart. And He tells us that if we believe Him, if we put our trust in Him, then we will be saved. We may physically die. I say may because I don't know when the Lord is coming back. But we may physically die, but we will for all eternity live with Him. And so this morning, if you're going, I want to know more about that salvation. Paul, how can you have a thankful heart? You don't know what's happening in my life. I want to share with you. You tell me, how do I go through this or that and still have a thankful heart? And I'm going to point you to Jesus every single time. Every single time. So this morning, maybe your first action of gratitude is to come and say, I believe. I'm so grateful that He came and died for me, that He rose from the dead and destroyed death for those who believe in Him. I'm going to be here to receive you. I can't save you. Only the Lord can do that. But the praise team is going to lead in worship. And those of you who you already know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you're looking for a church home. I want to invite you to come. The Lord has brought you here and saying, this is where He wants you to put down roots. This is where I want you to grow. This is where I want you to be gathered with brothers and sisters. Then come on. I'm here to receive you. But you do what the Lord is telling you to do. For the church members, I'm going to say this. Why sit there and do nothing? If nothing else, stand. Lift your voices and praise Him this morning. Amen? So I'm going to pray. And you do what the Lord is telling you to do. Let's pray.